thought for today. Purposeful living. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you the thought for today. What is purposeful living? Last night we had the privilege of watching Gone with the Wind. And it was a long Gone with the Wind, but it was interesting. And we had seen many characters in the scene, in the movie, and many of the characters were quite charming and quite interesting. All of them were exceedingly well played. It is obvious why it's a classic movie. It is done exceedingly well with a great deal of good taste and a great deal of imagination. One character that we singled out was Melanie, who was the wife of Ashley, who was a very gentle, sincere, capable, fabulous woman who was, so to speak, not as strong as the lead character, Scarlett, but perhaps even stronger. Because she directed her life to be the kind of life she wanted it to be, although it seemed as though she had a lot of strikes against her. And one strike against her was that Scarlett wanted her husband. One strike against her was that she was feeling that she was weak and that she was sometimes too sweet. And indeed, she was too sweet sometimes. But what this woman did was to live a life of purposeful living. Once she had decided that she wanted to have this man as her husband, she put the cause in motion in her consciousness, and he came over and asked her to marry him. Now you say, oh, I didn't see that in the movie. No, you didn't. That was what took place before the movie started. But it was evident. Why would he be interested in her among all of the many beautiful girls that were available? All of them coming from good families, all of them being exquisite in many ways. You follow me? Why would he choose her? Because she put the cause in motion for him to choose her. Because she could have chosen from many another fellow, too. She could have chosen from many of the fine young men, and many of the fine young men would find her equally charming and attractive, too. But she created that situation. So, when she created that situation, what did she create? She created a jealousy in Scarlett O'Hara, who felt that every man should be her beau. Every man should be at her beck and call, and that every man should wish to do everything for her. And Wesley, wasn't it?
Ashley.
Ashley didn't choose to do that. Now, once this woman determined that she was going to get married, then she married. And she married very nicely. Had a beautiful wedding, beautiful circumstances. And the two were very happy. She created her husband loving her because she loved herself and she loved her husband. She created her husband loving her because she loved her husband and she loved herself. She loved herself first, and then she loved her husband. But she was so aware that her thought was so powerful that she did not dare to think that other women would be chasing her husband. And he was a very prominent, wonderful person who had chaseability written all over him. But she was the one that he selected, and she was the one that had selected him. Now, you say, well, that wasn't always evident. Well, yes, it was, all the way through. All the way through, it was evident that she was totally in charge of every little incident that came up. Whenever there was any misunderstandings, she was the one who went in there and was the oil on the water. She would go in there and she would say, oh, it's all perfectly okay now. And nobody would think of going after her husband. Nobody would think of doing anything unkind or unrighteous or in any way. And in one of the last scenes of the movie, her husband is said to have gone into a red lighthouse, you know, and that he was going among these women to have sex and so forth, and that this would have made him into a pariah, you know, not a very nice person. But she knew better. She knew better. She knew that even if her husband had done that, she'd forgive him and their life would go on. But she knew better. She knew that it had not taken place. She knew her husband. Her husband did not do things like that. What it turned out to be, that Scarlett was part of the Old South, had gone into an area where it was dangerous to go, and she was accosted, and her husband wanted to go back and put these carpenters, the carpetbaggers, to rights for having molested her wife, his wife, for having done anything like that. Now, you see, when the story is told, it has a whole different picture than when it just appears, the illusions. But she had purposeful living in her whole life. She directed every bit of the scenario, every one of the areas. She was in charge, and she did a good job. Now, how do we do a good job with our life and purposeful living? How do we plan our world to be a very successful and a wonderful way of living? Well, as I said, as we were discussing this before, she knew how to use the law of cause and effect and how to put the law of cause and effect efficiently into motion to accomplish what she wanted to accomplish. And putting the law of cause and effect into motion is a wonderful thing. But the most wonderful thing about the law of cause and effect and putting it into motion is that you purposefully put it into motion. You know what you are doing. Now, many people go around saying, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, this is terrible. Nothing's working out for me. And they really consciously are not aware that they're putting a cause in motion to destroy themselves. And friends come along and say, oh, it's not so bad. You know, you're a pretty nice guy. You know, everything's okay. It's going to be all right. And, oh, no, it won't. You don't know how bad it is. And our friends are trying to move us from negativity into a positive frame of mind. And we don't want to move. We feel such self-pity for ourselves. But if in elementary school, if at our parents' knee, we could be taught purposeful living, we could be taught using the law of cause and effect to benefit our life in a very purposeful way, in a very meaningful way, then our life could be completely changed. But we're not taught that. We are, in a manner of speaking, taught that way, but not really. And the reason that we're not really taught that way is that our parents don't know it. And our parents' parents don't know. This is something that is sort of like a hidden mystery. The hidden mystery of the law of cause and effect. And we say, what goes around comes around. You know, you've heard that. And all sorts of other statements. But those are statements of destiny. Those are statements of fate. And this is not fate. The law of cause and effect is not fate. It is not something that's going to happen to you because of something else. The law of cause and effect is whatever you put in motion, that's what you're going to get. Now, if you put, and you say, well, that's fate. No. Because the law of cause and effect can be changed. You can put a cause in motion that nobody likes you. Everybody's against you. Everybody's feeling sorry for you. And then you can go to your minister or your priest or your rabbi And you can talk to them, and they'll say, hey, why are you doing that to yourself? Don't you realize that the world does like you? And the world doesn't like you because you think it doesn't like you. So you grab out of the world experience that you have everything that confirms the fact that the world doesn't like you. And now if you start grabbing out of it what it is that confirms the world likes you, then you'll do it. Now, do you live in a quiet neighborhood? Yes. Well, now, isn't that a blessing? Do you live in a world where everything is harmonious and beautiful, and all the bushes are growing well, and the grass is growing well, and the neighbor children are coming around laughing and smiling? And yeah, well, that's a blessing. Count your blessings. Yeah, but people argue with me about what I want to do. Oh, why don't you turn that argument into a blessing? Agree with your adversary quickly. People argue with you and you say, oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. What do you think I could do? What direction do you think I should go? 9 chances out of 10, you ask a person what direction you should go and they say, hey, well, you're really doing all right, you know. But they want to be objectionable because they see that we are objectionable to ourselves. So when we start being harmonious with ourselves, then everybody in the world is harmonious with us. Everybody in the world wants to be, well, I've been harmonious with myself sometimes, and things just didn't work out well. Oh, stop and think. Were you really harmonious with yourself, or were you just wishful thinking, or were you saying that and not believing it? And more likely, you were saying that and not believing it. You were saying, I've got the best house in the neighborhood. And you know that your house has a lot of improvements. I've got the best wife in the world. And you know that you're not happy with your wife. I got the best children in the world. And you know you're not happy with your children. You see, when you make positive statements, when you put causes in motion, behind those causes has to be a conviction. And the conviction is that you do have the best children in the world. And you start remembering how wonderful they are. You start remembering how great they are. You start remembering in your mind what has always made you feel so happy about your family. And when you think about your wife or your husband or anyone else in your world, start thinking about what it is that is so wonderful about them. You see, you can be the adversary. And when you're the adversary, what you're doing is you're bringing those things to a head. You're bringing those things to an out. And is that what you want to bring out? Is your wife the most beautiful woman in the world? Well, she wouldn't win any beauty con. Is your wife the most beautiful woman in the world? Yes. Do you have good taste? Oh, yes. Does your wife dress beautifully? Oh, yes. And on and on and on. And when you keep adding these wonderful things up, pretty soon you realize you do have a pretty terrific wife. Now, by someone else's standards, perhaps she doesn't dress so beautifully. By someone else's standards, perhaps she's not the most beautiful woman in the world. But whose standards do you live your life by? By your own. By your own. Now, when you look at your body and you say you're too fat or too thin, by whose standards? If you go out and you join them, you go to a nudist camp, for instance, and in the nudist camp are fat people, thin people, tall people, short people, everything. And you look around, you see these people, and you see them without their clothes on, and then what's the next thing you do? The next thing you do, you look at their personality. And you say, I like that person because they have a nice personality, and I want to be with that person, and these other people are okay too, but I want to be with that person, I want to talk to that person. Now, that person might be fat, or thin, or tall, or short, ugly, beautiful. They could be any one of those things. But you are attracted to them by their charisma, by their attitude, by their charm, just like your wife or husband. You married them not because they were the most beautiful people on the block. You married them because there was a certain magic going on between you. At least you should have. You married them because there's a certain feeling of simpatico, a certain feeling of oneness between the two of you. And it's a good feeling. You see, this is purposeful living. And we do it a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And we want to do purposeful living in all areas of our life all the time, because that's all that really matters. Yes, we can learn to put the cause, law of cause and effect into motion. We can learn to do it beautifully. We can learn to do it purposefully. We can learn to do it by accident. We can learn to do it by letting other people do it for us. But the only beneficial way for us is when we do it ourselves. Why is it important for us to learn to put the cause and law of cause and effect in motion for ourselves? Why is it important? Because every time we do it, and we do it successfully, we have more and more conviction. We believe in the law of cause and effect. And we start using it purposefully in all areas of our life. You're going to have a baby. Is that baby the greatest baby that has ever walked on the face of the earth? You bet. If that baby has a problem, is that problem going to limit the baby? No way. Is that baby going to be the apple of your eye? Yes. What if the baby can't walk? Never can walk. It's still the apple of your eye. You still love that child just as though it's running and romping and doing everything else. You never look at the limitation, but you look at the genius that that limitation inspires in that child, in that individual, to be the wonderful being that they are. It's exciting. Each of us has the opportunity to live our life in a fabulous way, if we wish, with purposeful living, if we learn to put the law of cause and effect in motion for whatever it is we want. And we are in charge now and forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.